This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go with the 4 o'clock hour. 4:01 is the time. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., victorious again, despite a hard-fought matchup today with Matthew Scraby. You will never forget Maryland winning an NCAA basketball championship. That's all that was stood between you and today's title, Scrabe.
Proud of your performance. Blake, apparently.
Steve Blake was on that Maryland team. I think they had some better players than him. But he was the guy that did go on to the NBA, play with the Lakers. I don't really remember a lot else about that Maryland squad.
Didn't even remember anything about
that. They were champions. And Tony Gwynn Jr., by the way, we focus a lot on your inability to win.
Let's not give him credit.
The Fantabulous Sports Game Show. You don't want to give him any credit?
No, let's not.
He's preparing for the game tonight out at the stadium.
And it's like playing the Rockies every night. You just know you're going to win, so why are we going to give him credit?
Well, you're considering you're the Rockies?
I mean, how can I say I'm not the Rockies?
You weren't the Rockies today. You were right there in the hunt the entire way.
Yeah, but the Rockies are in the hunt. They just always lose.
Tony didn't miss a single answer. I mean, that's, you know, you got. I'm sorry, a little credit.
It's really frustrating.
Where it's due. Remind you to stay around 2 hours from now, the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. Sam Levitt comes up at 6:05 tonight. The game starts a half hour later than normal at 7:05. Also, one more note, at some point, not in this segment because we're going to play Chris versus the fans, but some point today. Yeah, I was thinking of something clever, but I didn't come up with it. You'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Cubs game. First 40,000 fans tomorrow receive a Manny Machado bobblehead. You can get tickets at Padres.com/tickets or keep listening to the program. Your chance to win will be coming up soon. I have one note before we get to Chris versus the fans. It's a big one for fantasy baseball players everywhere. Brian Snitker said today that the Atlanta Braves will not yet release any information on Spencer Strider. They will make an announcement this weekend. Snit, according to this tweet by Mark Bowman, who follows the Braves, Snit said yesterday's visit with Dr. Meister, which was the second opinion, Snit said that visit did not erase the possibility of Tommy John surgery. The Braves might be waiting for the actual surgery to be completed before they provide an update.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but
it matters to most people, almost everybody.
It doesn't matter if I know whether or not he has surgery, but
no, my point is there's no good news
now
coming from the second opinion, which tells me that the Braves will announce this weekend that Spencer Strider's done for the year. If I hear anything differently, I'll be shocked. So, tough blow for the Braves, tough luck for me and hundreds of other fantasy baseball owners who I'm sure picked him highly.
Yeah, as you should have. He started off the year pretty good.
Actually, he did not.
I thought he had a bunch of strikeouts.
Well, maybe. I don't know. He hadn't won a game yet in the first two starts. Anyway, it's either here nor there. A lot of people's first round pick is gone for the year. That's tough.
Yeah.
For fantasy.
That is tough. And you're one of those guys.
I'm one of them guys. So, you know, you got, we can share that agony together I mean, and if you have an auction league, you probably paid $60 for him.
That's where it hurts
50,
a lot
60.
More.
Well, hurts a lot because, I mean, he was supposed to win the Cy Young. He was the odds-on favorite to easily win the Cy Young.
I mean, isn't he like 180 pounds and he throws like
300 miles an hour? Yeah, well, we'll see. There's nothing official yet, but speculation is running rampant.
I kind of like how pitchers are saying, or not all pitchers, but some pitchers saying, you know, it's the sticky stuff that we don't have anymore. It's like, okay, so you need to cheat in order to be your best? Just learn how to throw. I know it's not that simple, Chris.
It's not that simple. I think the sticky stuff kept them from putting as much torque on their arm to try and spin the baseball. So I can see that argument. But something's wrong. Something is very, very wrong. Yesterday, Framber Valdez was pulled from his start because of elbow pain.
Yeah.
Today, Washington Nationals opening day starter Josiah Gray goes on the injured list with right elbow pain. I mean, it's almost every day.
Yeah, the irrational.
And, sorry, it's almost every day, and it's almost always an ace pitcher. Josiah Gray is the Washington ace. Framber Valdez is the Astros ace. Spencer Strider is the ace. Gerrit Cole. I mean, the list is ridiculous of guys that are hurt right now. Baseball's got to be concerned about it. If they can't figure out what to do, they better think of something because they're losing everyone.
The irrational part of me gets a little bit angry when I hear this news. The irrational part of me, because it's like everybody needs to be paid the most, but you get hurt. I don't like it that owners have no recourse over someone getting injured for the entire year.
Oh, that's not what makes me mad. What makes me mad is what Russell Dorsey said yesterday on our show, and that is that they start pushing these kids when they are 12 years old, 14 years old, 15
True.
Years old.
True.
I'm going to sound like old man again.
No, I think you're right, though.
But they start pushing these kids when they're 14, 15. You've got to throw 95 or you won't even get a look at the major leagues. And that's Major League Baseball's problem right there. You've got to throw 95 or you won't even get a chance. So these kids get pushed earlier and earlier and earlier. And when they get there, they blow out. I mean, we could bring Randy Jones on and talk about this, but I already know what Randy's going to say because Randy didn't have to throw 95 to get people out. I still believe you could get some guys out by throwing in the 80s, but they don't believe that in Major League Baseball. So the arm injuries are going to continue.
Yeah, I hope not, but it will.
It will. Unless something changes, they're going to have to make a change somewhere to stop this from continuing. All right, sorry. Chris versus the fans. Let's go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, qualify for a chance to win the grand prize today. Two-night stay, Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to see Kool and the Gang. They're backed by popular demand, multiple sold-out shows, the legendary funk group. Kool and the Gang, back on stage at Westgate Las Vegas, residency through 2024. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun. You'll qualify for that. You will win this, a pair of tickets to this Sunday's SD Legion rugby match against the NOLA Gold at Snapdragon Stadium. Grab tickets at SDLegion.com. Scraby, the rules.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us question. You get it for free today. All right, let's go to the phones and find our first contestant. Let's go with Mario. Okay. Hello, Mario.
Mario.
Third time caller, man. Third time's a charm. Let's go, fellas. Let's do this.
I like Mario's positivity
Enthusiasm.
Here.
Enthusiasm.
I love it. Here we go, Mario. Question number one. What is the Reds logo on their hat? It's a C.
Mario was like, what is he asking here?
It's so not easy. Mr. Red or whatever it's called.
No, Mr. Red's not in the hat.
Yeah, all right, here we go, Mario. Question
I think
number...
that is the name of that
Mr. Red?
Mascot, Mr. Yeah. Red. Yeah, with the big ball head.
He's a big baseball.
Yeah, like the Mets have the same...
Yeah, but the Reds were here much...
Yes, what's the Mets head guy name? He's got a name, too. Mr. Met, I think.
I think it is Mr. Met.
Yeah, I think it's Mr. Met. All right, anyway, Mario...
If we're gonna stop down and talk mascots, Blooper from the Braves is still the best. When he stole Manny's money, that was great.
I'm a Blooper fan.
Yes, I'm a huge Blooper fan.
I don't think anybody's ever beat out the chicken right here in San Diego. He's still number one in my book.
But the chicken, like, I can be okay with the chicken being on a Mount Rushmore, but the chicken isn't around anymore.
I know, but I don't think anybody's beat him.
All right, I'm sorry, Mario, you had to listen to that.
I know, he wants to play ball.
Here we go, question number two. All right, let's see here. What now Twins player won Rookie of the Year in 2015?
Oh boy. Not easy.
Oh, the shortstop, man. I can't think of his name.
Okay. You got this, Mario. I know it.
Uh-oh.
I don't think...
The name.
I'm sorry. I don't think Mario knows.
Here's the thing that's really bad for Mario. I would not have come up with this had he not said the shortstop.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little, I'll say Carlos Correa. I don't even know if it's right.
Don't take my shirt off.
Nah, it is right.
Sorry, Mario. Yeah, call back, Mario, please.
You know, it happens often because the enthusiasm of the caller and you're trying to come up with the answer. But a little trick of the trade, if you don't know the answer, you're better off saying nothing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times that your clue leads me to the answer.
Chris off, yes.
It does happen that way. So just something to keep in mind.
All right, let's go to Eric. Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, gents, how we doing?
We're good, Eric.
I know Eric is a good player. He has won before.
I gotta try to play the Scravy game, too. I'm trying to play against Chris, but I gotta play Scravy too. So
well, I'm trying to figure out Scravy's questions are half the battle.
I think my questions are pretty good today. So
we'll see
all
about that.
Here we go. Question number one to Eric. What was Frank Thomas's nickname?
The Big Hurt.
That was quick.
Big old Hurt.
That was like reflex or
something.
That's
a good nickname. I don't know who gave it to him. I think Ken Harrelson, their broadcaster, did, but I could be wrong.
I will never forget the day Chris and I walked into the hotel in Cooperstown, and Frank Thomas is checking into the hotel, and Johnny Bench and I think Lance Berkman were walking down the hallway in their uniforms. It was like a dream. I'm not kidding.
Something was wrong with that picture. If I recall, Frank Thomas, he was checking in, and the lady was like, excuse me, can I see some ID, please? I need to get all the information.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Frank was, he might as well have just been any Joe Blow from anywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, the lady works at the hotel in Cooperstown.
Where everybody stays.
Have an idea,
and she's talking to a guy who's like 6'5", 280 pounds of muscle. That was one of the craziest experiences of my life.
Johnny Bench walking around in his uniform with Lance Berkman
and Frank Thomas checking into a hotel. Just another day in Cooperstown,
crazy
apparently
day.
All right, Eric, here we go. Question number two. What was the name that John Heyman tweeted out when he meant to tweet Aaron Judge went to the Giants? Remember this? This happened last year. What was the name that John Heyman tweeted out when he meant to tweet Aaron Judge's name?
Oh, no.
I've said this far too many times.
You have.
God.
Oh, that means Chris knows.
Not going to say anything. I can't come up with it.
All right. That's a good strategy. But I think Chris knows.
He doesn't.
Oh, really?
Remember.
Oh, you were waiting.
I know, but I don't remember. Was it, you've said it so many times. Was it Error Judge?
No, Eric moves on. It was Arson Judge.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good.
Not only, I'm sorry, John.
No, I couldn't have remembered.
Not only did you tweet out that he was signing with the Giants, you also tweeted his name out. Wrong.
Well, he got an, instead of an R, he got an S. That's
yes,
all.
He did. All right.
I think he should have typed, Error Judge would have been funny.
That would have been funnier.
All right, good for you, Eric.
All right.
You can take the title here.
Here is question number three.
Here we go. For all the moolah.
There are two active players right now in baseball at the top of the hit list. One has 2,135 hits. The other has 2,130 hits. Name both.
Wait, what is this now?
Basically, active players who are atop the hit list.
Got it.
Oh, man. I gotta name both of them?
Yes. It's a question number three.
This is a lot harder than the Cal Ripken Jr. I got my first time. oh, my God. I'm trying to think who's been around. Jeez Louise. Pujols isn't around anymore. I don't think Cabrera's. I think he's technically retired. Oh, my God.
I'm going to have to.
Wow.
Are you going to answer?
Yeah, you got to run me. I can't even get there.
Oh, wow. Eric, I love how Eric says, buzz me. It's like, man of the rules. Chris?
Active hit leader.
Active hit leaders right now. There's two of them. One has 2,135. The other has 2,130.
Haven't the foggiest idea.
Dan says Eric Hosmer on the list.
Eric Hosmer?
He's
Did
not
you say
him.
Active?
Yeah, well.
Don't recall him being active.
I think he's about 1,000 hits short, too.
I'm going to think of a guy that's been around a long time.
Okay.
Won a lot of hits. I think Andrew McCutchen.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Altuve.
Altuve.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric, you have won. Stay right there.
Good job, Eric. Who is it? Did I even come close?
You McCutchen's definitely on the list.
Okay.
He's got over 2,000 hits. Freddie Freeman has 2,130.
Oh, he's one of the answers. Freddie Freeman.
And Joey Votto, 2,135 hits.
And where is he active?
Toronto.
Is he on the team?
I believe he was with the Blue Jays. Didn't he sign with the Blue Jays?
I know he signed with them. I don't know that he made the team.
Well, I mean, he's still active, right? He's not retired.
I'm going to have to call this on a technicality.
Okay. I'm going to look right now.
I might need a
He hasn't played a game this year.
He hasn't played a game this year.
But they're saying that he is he's currently in the minors.
Oh.
I guess he's active.
I guess that officially he has not retired. He's still trying to play, but he's not on a major league roster. But that's okay. I didn't get Freddie Freeman either, so I don't really have much of an argument.
Yeah, but he's 2,135 hits.
Votto and Freeman.
He needs to start finding a team so that Freddie Freeman's going to pass him anyway.
Freddie Freeman's going to pass him. I wouldn't have got Freddie Freeman. He has a lot more hits than I thought. I would have. If you would have said who's got more, McCutchen or Freeman, I would have guessed McCutchen for sure. But Eric is a winner. He's won before. He wins again. Stay on the line, Eric. You will go to the rugby match, and you'll also qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. We will take a quick break. We will check a little traffic for you. There was something I wanted to share with you, though, when we come back. But I'm older now, and my memory is not quite what it used to be. No, I had it right here.
Well, you'll find it in the break.
No, I'm going to tell you, it has to do with left-handed pitchers. One hurt and one in big trouble. When we return.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back at you. 424, the time. Crisello, Matt Scraby, Eric. A consistent winner on Chris versus the Fans. I'll tell you one thing. Not only is Eric good at the game, he ought to teach a course on how to call in and get through.
It's true.
Because we talk to people all the time and go, I call and I can never get through. I want to play. I can't get through. Eric seems like he does it every time.
I don't know what he does. I don't think every single time.
I got to give Eric credit, man. He's got a magic phone there or something.
I will give people hints on
either
how
that,
to get in.
Either that or you are in cahoots with Eric.
No, that would get me fired, Chris.
Oh, it would.
And come on, I take this way too seriously to be in cahoots.
I'm joking. I know you would
never be. In cahoots.
You wouldn't know how to cahoot.
I wouldn't know how to cahoot. You're right.
Here's
a little bit of a trick. And I'm giving it to everyone.
What's the trick? There's a trick?
You got to wait through the game, see how people are doing, call in late, and hope you get tiebreaker, and that is your qualification right there.
Got you.
You don't like that?
It's all right.
Like that tip?
I don't know. I don't understand. I know there's people that want to play the game that have never gotten through. And then I know people like Eric have gotten through like seven, eight times.
Why are you blaming Eric?
I'm not. Okay. I don't know how he does it.
I don't think he does anything different.
So I go back. You got to teach some sort of course on it. Like when I was younger, we're younger. Well, have you ever called a radio station to try and win tickets?
Never.
You know, to a movie or, you know, whatever it is?
Never.
I've done it maybe seven times. I've never gotten anything but a busy signal. And then there's prize pigs out there. There's people out there that are called
that
prize
is the
pigs.
Name, yes.
They spend their entire day sitting by the phone, listening to other stations.
This is true.
Trying to win prizes.
This is true.
And they win them consistently.
And then there's other people. It's illegal for us to turn them away once they've been selected.
Even though
as the
we
winner.
Know they're prize pigs. I'm not saying you are, Eric. Please don't take that the wrong way.
No.
I'm trying to just explain that I don't understand how some people get through, some people never get through.
Prize pigs, the definition of a prize pig is someone who their job is to win prizes on the radio.
I know.
That's what their job is.
All right, here's what I want right now. I really want to give two tickets away to the Padre Cub game tomorrow. It's always random. Scraby will select, but I hope it's somebody that's never got through who gets through and wins them.
I have the phones locked.
Like, it will really upset me if it's somebody who always gets through and wins these tickets. I hope it's somebody brand new who gets through and wins the tickets. The phone number is 833-288-0973. Don't start calling yet. I haven't even given the question.
Well, the phones are locked anyway.
All right, so you're not going to get through yet anyway. All right, you got to answer this question. If you answer it, or I guess if you're the first to look it up on Google, either way,
that's totally fair.
It's totally fair, because what am I going to do? Tell you you can't do it? You get two tickets to see tomorrow's Padres-Cubs game at Petco Park. You're on your way. The first 40,000 and you will receive a Manny Machado bobblehead doll. Can you call them dolls anymore, or is it just bobblehead?
I think it's just bobblehead.
Yeah, I think you're right. Get tickets at padres.com/tickets. Here's your question. Because of a poem that was written in the early 1900s, you're wondering where I'm going with this.
Oh, my gosh.
Because of a poem that was written, I'm trying to make these questions hard, in the early 1900s, the double play combination of Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
I'm sorry?
You've never heard of Tinkers to Evers to Chance.
I've never heard that.
All right. Well, you're not old enough to have heard of it. But Tinkers to Evers to Chance became the most famous double play combination in the history of baseball. They're in the Hall of Fame. The poem is in the Hall of Fame. It's part of baseball lore.
It's Tinkers
to Evers to Chance.
Okay.
Today's question, Tinkers was the shortstop. Evers was the second baseman. Chance was the first baseman. Who played third base on Cub infield that featured the famous Tinkers to Evers to Chance poem?
What year is this again?
I don't know. I got to believe that nobody knows this answer out there. But somebody's going to look it up and find out. Call in at 833-288-0973. If you get it, you're going to tomorrow's Padres-Cubs game. Let the dialing begin. Ashley called in with the correct answer. Tinkers to Evers to Chance, the famous poem about the Chicago Cubs double play duo of 1910. Third baseman's name was Harry Steinfeld. It's a classic baseball trivia question. Ashley had it. She's going to see the Cubs tomorrow.
Yes.
Play the Padres at Petco Park. Way to go, Ashley. Thanks for dialing in and listening to the program.
And I did my best job of shuffling the lines for Chris.
You did everything you could do.
Yeah.
And Ashley, I think, is a new caller.
Yeah.
So it's good to have somebody new.
Yes.
Get through and win. Nothing against you regular callers.
Correct.
But it just amazes me when the same people somehow are able to get through. It's not supposedly that easy.
People are like, oh, man, Chris doesn't like Eric.
I'm
like,
that's not true.
No, that's not true. Don't say that because it's not true.
No, not true at all. Just trying to figure out how he gets through and everybody else doesn't. That's why I says he ought to teach a class.
Our inboxes are full of people who would like to know how to get on the show. This is why we're talking about it.
Let's get to some traffic because we got to go Big Five right now.
Right now.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one... the only...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, if there was ever a time to be at Petco Park this season, it was last night. I don't think I'm ever going to come down off of this Fernando Tatis Jr. home run high that I'm on right now.
Until they lose a 2 games in a row.
Probably. But right now, I am riding this high, Chris. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. This is what I got left.
Okay.
All right.
Number five.
And it has really revitalized and reinvigorated everyone.
Oh, Lord.
I was waiting for it. No, I knew that was over the top. But who do you think was the biggest believer in this comeback? Manager Mike Schilt. Fernando, after the game, said this about what the skipper said to the team down 8-0. He was thinking about removing starters from the game, and then Schilt told Fernando, quote, "Let's see how the next 2 innings go, and we go from there. We felt like we were going to come back, but if we didn't in a couple innings, it would be time to think about tomorrow," end quote. Tony, this is a completely opposite direction, when do you wave the white flag in a regular season game?
It's a feel thing. It's a feel thing. It's a case-by-case deal. Sometimes you don't remove them, you know? The thing about the Padres last night is all it's whooped. They were still putting good at-bats together. It wasn't like there was first pitch hacking and rollover sit. I mean, there were still some battle at-bats throughout that process. That's something Toddy talked about after the game. And I think those are kind of the signs that you're looking for. And then all of a sudden you click a 2-run shot, a few more hits that lead to runs. I mean, they had some help that kind of sparked it. And so, I don't know that there's a specific time that you wave the white flag. I think it's just kind of by feel of how the game is going and what you're seeing from the guys in the lineup. I think Schilt played it right. Let's see how these go the next couple innings, see what kind of at-bats we put together. And then that must have been, the fourth inning?
Because
it couldn't have been that long. I mean, the sixth inning is where they put up all those runs. So it was right on time.
Chris, when do you wave the white flag in a regular season game?
All the things that Tony said, plus I think one more thing, and that is who is the starting pitcher on the other side? I don't want to pick on a kid from Tijuana who's young and making his way through the big leagues, but I always feel I might have a chance against Javier Assad as opposed to if I'm facing Clayton Kershaw or Justin Verlander and I'm down 8-0 in the sixth inning. So I think that was part of it. But, I think he was going to wait till sixth inning, seventh inning stretch, something like that. If it was still 8-0, probably would have rested some guys for today's game. But, they came up with that big rally, as Tony said, just in the nick of time. And, the funny thing is, I think every team that gets down 8-0, at least for a brief moment, feels like, we can come back. It's only the fourth inning. But to believe in it and to follow it through and to actually get all the way there and climb over the mountain, that's nice. And that should help this team going forward quite a bit.
Real quick, a couple things. The first part is the irony in Chris's answer is the first time this happened was against Max Scherzer.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The second part is these comebacks happen in one of two ways, especially when you get eight runs in the first three innings, right? It's our first four innings. It's either you're chip away, like you just kind of getting them two runs here, a run there, and it's like throughout the rest of the game, or you have a big inning like they did in the sixth where you take a chunk, if not all of it, away, and then there's some life again. Either way, it's those type of moments that start to make a team believe.
Padres are, one thing, if not, consistent offensively, but when they have a big inning, they have one,
yes.
Right? Aren't they leading Major League Baseball in four-run innings this year?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they've had eight four-plus run innings this year. And we know going into the game last night, they had not scored a lot of crooked number innings.
Wanted a crooked inning, you got a crooked
inning.
That's
right, yeah.
All right.
Number four.
Bear with me on this one, guys. I was reading some things about Shohei Ohtani this morning, and I find something very interesting about the Dodgers in their getting to know him process. They basically know nothing about him. They didn't even know he was getting married before spring training. They didn't even know his practice routines or what he likes and what he does on a day-to-day basis. The Dodgers also didn't know his interpreter was going to cause a bunch of illegal gambling issues within the clubhouse. That was just a shot. Chris, do you think Shohei Ohtani is just a little too private?
I have no idea, but I know the Dodgers knew one thing about Shohei Ohtani. And it was the most important thing that they knew about Shohei Ohtani. And that is that he likes money. And so they had a whole bunch of it, and they sent it in his direction, and guess what? He said, okay. That's what it was going to come down to. I mean, you're bringing up things that are interesting. But let's say the Dodgers knew he was going to get married. Let's say the Dodgers knew what his favorite breakfast cereal was. It wasn't going to matter. I mean, they were going to sign this guy
because they had
the most money to sign him. So I don't know. He's probably, maybe he's private in just in general. But I think the language barrier and the language gap causes a bigger barrier and gap between him and the rest of baseball.
Good point.
So, it was interesting. Who was it we were talking about the other day that spent a whole bunch of time during the offseason learning the language?
Ellie De La Cruz.
He didn't want to feel like there was such a big gap. I'm not saying Ohtani needs to learn English, but, I think that would help.
Yeah.
Shore things up and close the gap quite a bit. But until then, I mean, there's going to be this disconnect, and I don't think the Dodgers mind it all that much. I think you mind it for some reason way more than they do.
Well, I mean, just because a Dodgers fan took a shot at Tatis on my profile saying, oh, he needed steroids to hit that one out. It's like, what? What are you doing? So then I got mad at Shohei Ohtani, and then I wrote this question.
Okay.
Sorry. Tony, I'm...
So we have that idiot tweeter,
one person who probably has three
to
followers,
thank for this question. Yeah, I know.
I was on ESPN.com and I saw this because they were talking about how he is trying to acclimate himself better, and then they brought up all these points of them not knowing about these certain things, so that's why I came.
Well, the one thing that we know about you, this is not an overreaction, is that you are an overreactor. That we know for sure. I don't think there's any argument about that. You overreact about pretty much everything.
Did I just start this segment saying I'm going to be high on Fernando's home run forever? Yes,
for the rest of time, I believe it is. Yes.
Tony, I'm a little afraid to ask you about this, but do you think Shohei Ohtani is just a little too private?
No.
I knew that was the answer.
I mean, here's the deal. If I recall correctly, Chris, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall Ichiro, ever. I mean, I think it was known around the league that he knew good English, but I don't recall him, doing a ton of interviews.
He used it when it was beneficial to him, and he used the fact that he supposedly didn't know English when that was beneficial to him.
Which is smart.
That's what he did.
I think that this is kind of, the language barrier is a thing. Whether it's they're uncomfortable speaking publicly in English or not, the language barrier is something. In terms of his privacy, there are a lot of guys who are like that. The only difference is they're not Shohei Ohtani, who is like the biggest star in the game. So some would argue that when you take on that kind of mantle,
title,
status,
yeah,
that there's a responsibility that comes with it. And, you know, I think it's to each his own, honestly. You know, he clearly kept his relationship with his wife private. I can't say that I blame him, just, you know, how people kind of, you know, use that stuff against you at times. But no, I don't think he's too private. I think this, in terms of the Dodgers, now, no, why would they know? They didn't have Ohtani in their organization for however many years like the Angels did. They could have done all the research they wanted until they are, like, in the middle of a season to see how all these pieces and all these things work. They wouldn't know. So I doubt that they didn't have some inkling on terms of his kind of how he kind of rolls. I think they probably knew that. They just didn't know what it was going to look like during the season, I would guess.
I think people like you that are addicted to social media, Scraby, are
I'm not addicted to social media. Will you stop that?
You
kind
of are.
Some of the people like you that are addicted to social media, I'll say it again, are the reason that you have to close ranks from time to time if you're a professional athlete. Because every time you do give a little piece of information, it blows up all over the place.
I 100% believe in privacy for celebrities, for everyone. But like Tony said, there are, and I don't even necessarily think that anyone needed to know about his wedding. I think it's weird that his employer didn't know about his wedding, or his teammates didn't know about his wedding.
When you're interviewed for a job, a new job,
yes,
do you get asked, oh, by the way, before we hire you, are you on the verge of getting married?
No, but I would say if I was getting married, hey, I'm going to have to miss some time after you hire me because I'm getting married.
But
I'm not
going to
just sit there and be... I know. That's not a perfect example.
I think if he had to miss time, he probably would have told the team. But considering that he didn't have to miss time, he did it his way.
Well, he uses a cricket bat now, so every kid in America is going to start using a cricket bat in warm-ups. Do you guys see that?
Things ain't cheap, I can promise you that.
Cricket bats aren't? I have no idea how much a cricket bat's
going to The bat is a cricket? Like it's a...
Wait, what?
You said a cricket bat?
Yeah, like the sport cricket.
Oh.
Not like a...
I think they design, you know, they can design a bat.
Yes,
a cricket.
That would be hilarious. So I thought that's what you're talking about. Yeah, Shohei swings a bat made up of ground crickets. All right, I'm moving on.
Time out. Not actual cricket.
I know. I'm just having fun with it. Remember, I'm on Fernando's home run high.
Speaking of language barriers, we seem to have one here.
Yes. All right, it's Masters Week. Oh, well, let me get my music, everybody. And I've always wondered this next question, everybody. What would a mere mortal as the national if they were to play the championship setup? Here is Masters champ Marco Mira starting off, and then you'll hear from Larry Mize about what an amateur would shoot.
A 15 handicap at Augusta National, playing from where these kids play today, for sure would not even have a chance of breaking 100. That's how difficult the course is. That's how much slope there is and speed in the greens. An average player would have a very difficult time getting around Augusta National in less than 100.
They'd have a hard time breaking 100. I mean, the average amateur does not play greens like that. They may get some contours similar to that, but the speed is, you know, pretty unusual. They're pretty quick, and the contours, too. I think a 15 handicap, they would have to play really, really, really good to break 100.
There you go. And I'll pull down the music now and go back to normal. But 15 handicap, that's about what I am. I would be really happy with breaking 100. Tony, what score would you be happy with?
150.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Just keep it in the buck, man. 150.
I bet you if I were to play Augusta, there would be at least four or five greens where I would have at least seven putts each green. Chris, what do you think? What score would make you happy?
Well, I don't know what my score would be, but I would like to try to keep it under losing an average of one ball per hole.
Pretty open. You can't really lose a golf ball.
Oh, I could lose one. I can lose one on the easiest courses, so I'm sure I could lose one there. And I think when it came to putting, I would just not try to be my shot into the hole on a putt, I would try to keep my putt from rolling off the green. That's how difficult it looks to me. So I don't even know what my score would add up to be. I mean, 150, I don't even know if that's accurate. But I'm not sure what we're trying to show here. I don't think
I think it's fun to
I don't think that amateur, you know, people can hit a major league fastball. I don't think amateur people can tackle an NFL running back. And I don't think amateur people can make a, you know, a dunk shot in traffic in an NBA game or even skate on the ice against professional hockey players. Awesome. So this is why these are, you know, professionals, and we should sit back and be amazed by what they do.
And this is why I love golf, because I can go to a golf course that Tiger Woods has played, stood in the spot that he hit the shot, and try to recreate
down to your local rink and set up a net and skate up and down
but
the
that
ice,
doesn't
too.
Mean anything.
Either does golf. But you're not golfing the same way that Tiger Woods or any of those other guys
do.
But
as a golf lover... And as a golf history lover, I can go to Torrey Pines and I can go make the same putt that Tiger made to send him into a playoff.
Why don't you say you can miss the same putt that Tiger made?
I would make it because I've watched it 1 billion times.
He said he can recreate the shot. No, you can't. You can't recreate that shot.
I can try. Okay, I can try.
You can hit a shot that from the same spot, but you certainly can't recreate it.
I could do the fist pump.
I think golfers, everything. I think somebody was, that was a very self-serving question for golfers. So they could.
I think it's an amazing question.
So they could, you know, thrust out their chest and go, yeah, everybody else would be well over 100.
No way. I never took it like that for 1 second.
I did. Golfers are arrogant.
Well, this is coming from the guy who already lies about his own score by playing bogey golf, so it makes sense.
I would have to play triple bogey golf at the Masters just to even keep it remotely close.
Bogey golf, I love it.
Number two.
Let's go back to being serious, because the MLB account tweeted out a Rookie of the Year watch for MLB, obviously. Okay. American League, number one, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, Jackson Holliday, Colt Keith, and Colton Cowser.
Okay.
And then National League, Jackson Churio of the Brewers, Yamamoto of the Dodgers, Imanaga of the Cubs, Jung-Hoo Lee of the Giants, and then Paul Skeens of the Pirates.
Who's not even in the big leagues right now.
Neither is Jackson Holliday. But what I'm talking about, Chris...
I think I know where this is going.
But here's the question, because I know where you're going to answer, what your answer will be, but should Paul Skeens be on this list when he hasn't even done anything yet?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask
me. I know, but I already know your answer.
Oh, well...
Okay, fine, I'll ask the popular question. Should Jackson Merrill be on this list?
If they have any clue, and it doesn't sound like they do. So, you know, Jackson Merrill's, you know, should be on this list, if only... And I'm not even on the Jackson Merrill hype train, I don't think, like everybody else is. You know, I still want to wait and see, you know, what he does on a consistent basis. But the fact that he is a starting center fielder playing every day should immediately put you in the running for Rookie of the Year. There aren't very many rookies that are an everyday starter in Major League Baseball. There just aren't. I mean, you mentioned Langford, you know, a couple of these other guys in the American League. That's the list stops there. Jackson Churio, perhaps with Milwaukee. There's not many. So that's him being overlooked. No, Skeens can be on the list. I mean, I think most people expect that he'll eventually get called up, and he's got 100-mile-per-hour stuff, and I'm sure the Pirates will give him an opportunity. So I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with the omission of Jackson Merrill, though.
I like that way you're putting it. Tony, do you have a problem with the omission of Jackson Merrill on this list?
I mean, sometimes it's best to be slept on.
That's like Jackson, too.
So yeah, that is.
I don't mind it at all. I want to keep as much of the hype.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, if there was ever a time to be at Petco Park this season, it was last night. I don't think I'm ever going to come down off of this Fernando Tatis Jr. home run high that I'm on right now.
Until they lose two games in a row.
Probably. But right now, I am riding this high, Chris. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. This is what I got left.
Okay.
All right.
Number five.
And it has really revitalized and reinvigorated everyone.
Oh, Lord.
I was waiting for it. No, I knew that was over the top. But who do you think was the biggest believer in this comeback? Manager Mike Schilt. Fernando, after the game, said this about what the skipper said to the team down 8-0. He was thinking about removing starters from the game, and then Schilt told Fernando, quote, "Let's see how the next two innings go, and we go from there. We felt like we were going to come back, but if we didn't in a couple innings, it would be time to think about tomorrow," end quote. Tony, this is a completely opposite direction, when do you wave the white flag in a regular season game?
It's a feel thing. It's a feel thing. It's a case-by-case deal. Sometimes you don't remove them, you know? The thing about the Padres last night is all it's whooped. They were still putting good at-bats together. It wasn't like there was first-pitch hacking and rollover. I mean, there were still some battle at-bats throughout that process. That's something Toddy talked about after the game. And I think those are kind of the signs that you're looking for. And then all of a sudden, you click a two-run shot, you know, a few more hits that lead to runs. I mean, they had some help that kind of sparked it. And so, I don't know that there's a specific time that you wave the white flag. I think it's just kind of by feel of how the game is going and what you're seeing from the guys in the lineup. I think Schilt played it right. Let's see how these go the next couple innings, see what kind of at-bats we put together, and then that must have been the fourth inning,
because
it couldn't have been that long. I mean, the sixth inning is where they put up all those runs, so it was right on time.
Chris, when do you wave the white flag in a regular season game?
All the things that Tony said, plus I think one more thing, and that is, who is the starting pitcher on the other side? I don't want to pick on a kid from Tijuana who's young and making his way through the big leagues, but I always feel I might have a chance against Javier Assad, as opposed to if I'm facing Clayton Kershaw or Justin Verlander and I'm down 8-0 in the sixth inning. So I think that was part of it. But, you know, I think he was going to wait till sixth inning, seventh inning stretch, something like that. If it was still 8-0, probably would have rested some guys for today's game. But, you know, they came up with that big rally, as Tony said, just in the nick of time. And, you know, the funny thing is, I think every team that gets down 8-0, at least for a brief moment, feels like, you know, we can come back. It's only the fourth inning. But to believe in it and to follow it through and to actually get all the way there and climb over the mountain, yeah, that's nice. And that should help this team going forward quite a bit.
Real quick, a couple things. The first part is the irony in Chris's answer is the first time this happened was against Max Scherzer.
Yeah, that's true.
The second part is, these comebacks happen in one of two ways, especially when you get eight runs in the first three innings, right? It's our first four innings. It's either you're chip away, like you just kind of getting them two runs here, a run there, and it's like throughout the rest of the game, or you have a big inning like they did in the sixth where you take a chunk, if not all of it, away, and then there's some life again. Either way, it's those type of moments that start to make a team believe.
Padres are, one thing, if not, consistent offensively. But when they have a big inning, they have one.
Yes.
Right? Aren't they leading Major League Baseball in four-run innings this year?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they've had 8 four-plus run innings this year. And we know going into the game last night, they had not scored a lot of crooked number innings.
Wanted a crooked inning, you got a crooked
inning.
That's
right, yeah.
All right.
Number four.
Bear with me on this one, guys. I was reading some things about Shohei Ohtani this morning, and I find something very interesting about the Dodgers in their getting to know him process. They basically know nothing about him. They didn't even know he was getting married before spring training. They didn't even know his practice routines or what he likes and what he does on a day-to-day basis. The Dodgers also didn't know his interpreter was going to cause a bunch of illegal gambling issues within the clubhouse. That was just a shot. Chris, do you think Shohei Ohtani is just a little too private?
I have no idea, but I know the Dodgers knew one thing about Shohei Ohtani. And it was the most important thing that they knew about Shohei Ohtani. And that is that he likes money. And so they had a whole bunch of it, and they sent it in his direction, and guess what? He said, okay. That's what it was going to come down to. I mean, you're bringing up things that are interesting. But let's say the Dodgers knew he was going to get married. Let's say the Dodgers knew what his favorite breakfast cereal was. It wasn't going to matter. I mean, they were going to sign this guy
because they
had the most money to sign him. So I don't know. He's probably, maybe he's private in just in general. But I think the language barrier and the language gap causes a bigger barrier and gap between him and the rest of baseball.
Good point.
So, it's interesting. Who was it we were talking about the other day that spent a whole bunch of time during the offseason learning the language?
Ellie
De La Cruz. He didn't want to feel like there was such a big gap. I'm not saying Ohtani needs to learn English, but, I think that would help.
Yeah.
Shore things up and close the gap quite a bit. But until then, there's going to be this disconnect, and I don't think the Dodgers mind it all that much. I think you mind it for some reason way more than they do.
Well, I mean, just because a Dodgers fan took a shot at Tatis on my profile saying, oh, he needed steroids to hit that one out. It's like, what do you do? So then I got mad at Shohei Ohtani, and then I wrote this question.
Okay.
Sorry. Tony, I'm...
So we have that idiot tweeter,
one person who probably has three
to
followers.
Thank for this question. Yeah, I know. You react.
No, I was on ESPN.com and I saw this because they were talking about how he is trying to acclimate himself better, and then they brought up all these points of them not knowing about these certain things. So that's why I came.
Well, the one thing that we know about you, this is not an overreaction.
Oh gosh.
Is that you are an overreactor. That we know for sure. I don't think there's any argument about that. You overreact about pretty much everything.
Did I just start this segment saying I'm going to be high on Fernando's home run forever? Yes,
for the rest of time, I believe it is. Yes.
Tony, I'm a little afraid to ask you about this, but do you think Shohei Ohtani is just a little too private?
No.
I knew that was the answer.
I mean, here's the deal. If I recall correctly, Chris, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall Ichiro, ever. I mean, I think it was known around the league that he knew good English, but I don't recall him, doing a ton of interviews.
He used it when it was beneficial to him, and he used the fact that he supposedly didn't know English when that was beneficial to him.
Which is smart.
That's what he did.
I think that this is kind of, the language barrier is a thing. Whether it's they're uncomfortable speaking publicly in English or not, the language barrier is something. In terms of his privacy, there are a lot of guys who are like that. The only difference is they're not Shohei Ohtani, who is like the biggest star in the game. So some would argue that when you take on that kind of mantle, when you take that kind of title, status. That there's a responsibility that comes with it. And, I think it's to each his own, honestly. He clearly kept his relationship with his wife private. I can't say that I blame him. Just, how people kind of, use that stuff against you at times. But no, I don't think he's too private. I think this, in terms of the Dodgers, now, why would they know? They didn't have Ohtani in their organization for however many years like the Angels did. They could have done all the research they wanted until they are, in the middle of a season to see how all these pieces and all these things work. They wouldn't know. So I doubt that they didn't have some inkling on terms of his kind of how he kind of rolled. I think they probably knew that. They just didn't know what it was going to look like during the season, I would guess.
I think people like you that are addicted to social media, Scraby, are
part... I'm not addicted to social media. Will you, you stop kinda that?
Are. Some of the people like you that are addicted to social media, I'll say it again, are the reason that you have to close ranks from time to time if you're a professional athlete. Because every time you do give a little piece of information, it blows up all over the place.
I 100% believe in privacy for celebrities, for everyone. But, like Tony said, there are... And I don't even necessarily think that anyone needed to know about his wedding. I think it's weird that his employer didn't know about his wedding, or his teammates didn't know about his wedding.
When you're interviewed for a job, a new job...
Yes.
Do you get asked, oh, by the way, before we hire you, are you on the verge of getting married?
No, but I would say if I was getting married, hey, I'm going to have to miss some time after you hire me because I'm getting married. But I'm not going to just sit there and be... I know. That's not a perfect example.
I think if he had to miss time, he probably would have told the team. But considering that he didn't have to miss time, he did it his way.
Well, he uses a cricket bat now, so every kid in America is going to start using a cricket bat in warm-ups. Do you guys see that?
Things ain't cheap, I can promise you that.
Cricket bats aren't? I have no idea how much a cricket bat's
cost. It was like the bat is a cricket, like it's a...
Wait, what?
You said a cricket bat?
Yeah, like the sport cricket.
Oh.
Not like a...
I think they did design, you know, they can design a bat.
Yes,
like with
a
cricket.
That'd be hilarious. So I thought that's what you're talking about. Yeah, Shohei swings a bat made up of ground crickets. All right, I'm moving on.
Time out. Not actual cricket.
I know. I'm just having fun with it. Remember, I'm on Fernando's home run high.
Speaking of language barriers, we seem to have one here.
Yes. All right, it's Masters Week. Oh, well, let me get my music, everybody. And I've always wondered this next question, everybody. What would a mere mortal ask the National if they were to play the championship setup? Here is Masters champ Marco Mira starting off, and then you'll hear from Larry Mize about what an amateur would shoot.
A 15 handicap at Augusta National, playing from where these kids play today, for sure would not even have a chance of breaking 100. That's how difficult the course is. That's how much slope there is and speed in the greens. An average player would have a very difficult time getting around Augusta National in less than 100.
They'd have a hard time breaking 100. I mean, the average amateur does not play greens like that. They may get some contours similar to that, but the speed is, you know, pretty unusual. They're pretty quick, and the contours, too. I think a 15 handicap, they would have to play really good to break 100.
There you go. And I'll pull down the music now and go back to normal. But 15 handicap, that's about what I am. I would be really happy with breaking 100. Tony, what score would you be happy with?
150.
150. Okay. I mean, that's fair.
Just keep it in the buck, man. 150.
I bet you... If I were to play Augusta, there would be at least four or five greens where I would have at least seven putts each green. Chris, what do you think? What score would make you happy?
Well, I don't know what my score would be, but I would like to try to keep it under losing an average of one ball per hole.
Pretty open. You can't really lose a golf ball.
Oh, I could lose one. I can lose one on the easiest courses, so I'm sure I could lose one there. And I think when it came to putting, I would just not try to be my shot into the hole on a putt, I would try to keep my putt from rolling off the green. That's how difficult it looks to me. So I don't even know what my score would add up to be. I mean, 150, I don't even know if that's accurate. But I'm not sure what we're trying to show here. I think
it's fun to know.
I don't think that amateur, people can hit a major league fastball. I don't think amateur people can tackle an NFL running back. And I don't think amateur people can make a dunk shot in traffic in an NBA game or even skate on the ice against professional hockey players. Awesome. So this is why these are, professionals, and we should sit back and be amazed by what they do.
And this is why I love golf, because I can go to a golf course that Tiger Woods has played, stood in the spot that he hit the shot, and try to recreate
down to your local rink and set up a net and skate up and down
but
the
that
ice,
doesn't
too.
Mean anything.
Either does golf. But you're not golfing the same way that Tiger Woods or any of those other guys do.
As a golf lover, And as a golf history lover, I can go to Torrey Pines and I can go make the same putt that Tiger made to send him into a playoff.
Why don't you say you can miss the same putt that Tiger made?
I would make it because I've watched it 1 billion times.
He said he can recreate the shot. No, you can't. You can't recreate that shot.
I can try. Okay, I can try.
You can hit a shot that from the same spot, but you certainly can't recreate it.
I could do the fist pump.
I think golfers, everything. I think somebody was, that was a very self-serving question for golfers. So they could,
I think it's an amazing question.
So they could, you know, thrust out their chest and go, yeah, everybody else would be well over 100.
No way. I never took it like that for 1 second.
I did. Golfers are arrogant.
Well, this is coming from the guy who already lies about his own score by playing bogey golf, so it makes sense.
I would have to play triple bogey golf at the Masters just to even keep it remotely close.
Bogey golf, I love it. Number
two. Let's go back to being serious, because the MLB account tweeted out a Rookie of the Year watch for MLB, obviously. American League, number one, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, Jackson Holliday, Colt Keith, and Colton Cowser.
Okay.
And then National League, Jackson Churio of the Brewers, Yamamoto of the Dodgers, Imanaga of the Cubs, Jung-Hoo Lee of the Giants, and then Paul Skeens of the Pirates.
Who's not even in the big leagues right now.
Neither is Jackson Holliday. But what I'm talking about, Chris,
I think I know where this is going.
But here's the question, because I know where you're going to answer, what your answer will be, but should Paul Skeens be on this list when he hasn't even done anything yet?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me.
I know, but I already know your answer.
Oh, why?
Okay, fine, I'll ask the popular question. Should Jackson Merrill be on this list?
If they have any clue, and it doesn't sound like they do. So, you know, Jackson Merrill's, you know, should be on this list if only. And I'm not even on the Jackson Merrill hype train, I don't think, like everybody else is. You know, I still want to wait and see, you know, what he does on a consistent basis. But the fact that he is a starting center fielder playing every day should immediately put you in the running for Rookie of the Year. There aren't very many rookies that are an everyday starter in Major League Baseball. There just aren't. I mean, you mentioned Langford, you know, a couple of these other guys in the American League. The list stops there. Jackson Churio, perhaps with Milwaukee. There's not many. So that's him being overlooked. No, Skeens can be on the list. I mean, I think most people expect that he'll eventually get called up, and he's got 100-mile-per-hour stuff, and I'm sure the Pirates will give him an opportunity. So I don't have a problem with that. I do have a problem with the omission of Jackson Merrill, though.
I like that way you're putting it. Tony, do you have a problem with the omission of Jackson Merrill on this list?
I mean, sometimes it's best to be slept on.
That's like true, Jackson, too.
So yeah, that is.
I don't mind it at all. I want to keep as much of the hype off his neck and back as possible.
Good
and
point.
Just let him be free and just out there doing his thing. He's doing a fantastic job right now. He really is. And so that's fine. Yeah, let him be slept on. I like that, because he's just gonna keep going out here and keep popping up in some of the rookie league leaders. And at the end of the day, regardless of these stupid lists, his numbers are gonna ultimately speak for him. So yeah, I'm fine with him being left off the list.
All right. Yeah, that's a good answer. I like that. I was all angry earlier. Now I'm not.
I'm angry.
You're angry.
I want to know what in the name of Butch Metzger is going on here.
Oh, gosh. Who's Butch Metzger?
First Padre to win Rookie of the Year, 1976.
Wow.
He shared it with Pat Zachary of the Cincinnati Reds. Pat Zachary passed away the other day.
Oh, no.
There you go.
I was just about to say he's got two first names, but that's messed up.
Not anymore.
And that's a line reserved for me, Chris.
I know.
NFL reporter Albert Breer put out a video of Matt Rhule, the Nebraska head coach, talking about a visit of Bill Belichick to the facilities at Nebraska. And Albert Breer put this video out with the message, "It's a really poor reflection on NFL owners that there were 7 openings this year. Bill Belichick wanted to work and couldn't find a job." So here is what Matt Rhule said during their press conference.
He is so smart, has seen so much, that he can make the complex so simple that it humbles you and embarrasses you. I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him, how smart he is, how simple it was.
There's something about his voice. I don't know what it is. Tony, what is the real reason that Bill Belichick was not hired? in your mind?
It's a good question. I guess I don't know enough about, like, the background of these teams. You know, it's, I mean, we knew this, that he wanted to work. We heard that from Arthur Blank. He definitely said that. Why these teams decided to go another route, I don't know. And I believe Arthur Blank said he wasn't even asking for, like, full control of teams, too. So that's really not an excuse. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, right? I mean, you would think a guy who had as much success as him, with the many openings that were there, would at least, like, give it a year. But they elected not to. It's hard to say what's going on there in terms of why it didn't happen.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think? What was the real reason he was not hired?
I have two reasons for why Belichick was not hired. Pick one. One is, and as I get a little older, I feel like I see this more often, ageism. I don't think people want a coach as old as Bill Belichick, overlooking the fact that Andy Reid is getting old and he's one of the best coaches in football. But that, I don't think, is as big a reason as the other one. The other reason is insecurity among the general managers and owners of the teams that were looking for coaches. And I say this in a general sweeping comment. People that are successful, teams that are successful, organizations that are successful, but mostly people in business that are successful, surround themselves with other people that are really good. Mm. People that aren't successful shy away from those types of people.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
And what do all of the teams that were looking for coaches have in common? They're not very good.
Successful. Yeah.
They're unsuccessful. So that's my theory. I'll stick to it. I don't know how true it all is.
It's a good one.
But I just believe, I mean, if you want to win and have a chance at being successful, Bill Belichick would be a no-brainer. But I think a lot of people talk them surrounded by greatness because they might get exposed themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that could be what's happening in Miami right now, the Marlins. They you know, when Chris, you hit it on the head, man. They, unsuccessful organizations, people don't like to be reminded by somebody who has had a ton of it. Even if they're not even actually saying the word, just their mere presence can upset the situation. That's a great take right there. I would co-sign that.
But don't sleep on ageism.
Fight for all the old people everywhere, Chris.
That's right. And fight for all of us.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to get you set for this 7:05 p.m. start between the Padres and the Cubs tonight. Probably hear from Mike Schilt and some other things on 97.3.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.